This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We love our chance to talk to Mike Florio, and he joins us on the Al Pamonte Ford Hotline. Al Pamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Good morning, Michael.
Morning,
hey,
Mike.
Guys. How are you?
Good. Oh, we're all fired up. I mean, it's all there in front of them now.
You guys are drinking early this morning, aren't you?
Well, you know, when you watch the Vikings lose and you think the Bears are only two games behind those guys and they already beat them once. And by the way, Mike, their signature victory of the year, they have one.
Yes.
Dallas doesn't. Was against the Vikings here in Chicago when Mitch got hurt and missed most of the game. I don't know what it says. I don't know what it means.
Well, and yeah, big game coming up on Thursday night, and the Bears still play the Packers. And look, it's not going to be an easy run for the Bears, even if they run the table. I think the Vikings actually will be fine the rest of the way. I don't think anybody reasonably expected them to win in Seattle last night. And the fact that they were down 17 in the fourth quarter and stormed back, that's something that if they push the buttons the right way, ends up being fuel for this stretch run. The only difference for the Vikings in losing that game, if they get in, they're going to be potentially a 12-4-6 seed that's going to have to do it the hard way, and it's going to be really hard this year going on the road to Green Bay and then New Orleans, San Francisco, or Seattle, and then New Orleans or San Francisco or Seattle after that. It's a hell of a gauntlet this year in the NFC. This is a good year to miss the playoffs. Let's just put it that way.
And, you know, Mike, the narrative will be Kirk Cousins falls to 0-8 in primetime games on Monday night and everything. And certainly he made a bad decision when it was 4th-and-3 and he forced the pass to Irv Smith Jr. I thought that. But overall, I thought Cousins played well enough to win, and I thought he was better at the further behind they fell, and he was one of the big reasons they were able to come back.
One thing he did that really impressed me, because we go crazy when other quarterbacks do this, with 10 minutes or so left, they're down 10 points. There was a sense of urgency there. How many times are we yelling at the TV? The clock is ticking. You're down two scores. Get your ass to the line of scrimmage and call the next play. He was doing that. He was checking every box. But the one big deficiency for him continues to be game on the line. Are you going to make the big throw? Are you going to make the right decision? Alexander Mattison is the guy he should have thrown to on 4th-and-3. It was a bad play call. It was a very simple design. Tight ends on each side in the slot. Both guys ran an out. The receivers spread wide, went deep, and Mattison flared out of the backfield. I'd like to have seen something a little more creative on 4th-and-3 with the game on the line. But when you're not mobile, you got to make a quick decision. And when you make a quick decision, sometimes you make the wrong decision. And it was a bad decision, a bad throw. And at a time when it felt like everything was going Minnesota's way and they were going to go down and score. And then the question becomes, how much time's left on the clock? And can Seattle force overtime? I mean, it really felt inevitable. And then the air came out of the balloon very, very quickly for the Vikings.
Mike, I can come up with a lot of reasons why Freddie Kitchens has to go. But the idea that he wore the Pittsburgh Started a T-shirt... It's just another. I mean, how rockhead are you?
And then he said yesterday his only regret was he didn't zip his coat up. So, you know, the like, yeah, as long as no one sees it, I have no regrets about wearing it. The whole experiment wasn't a mistake in that it did make sense for the Browns to roll the dice on a guy who got a lot of the credit for getting the most out of Baker Mayfield. They weren't going to make Greg Williams the permanent coach after the bounty scandal and just the fact that the guy's a little bit erratic at times, and that's good as a defensive coordinator, not good as a head coach. And, you know, the idea is if you bring in another defensive coach and you let Kitchens stay as the offensive coordinator and things continue to go well, somebody else is going to hire him away. So make him the head coach. I made that argument. Just go ahead and make him the head coach and see what happens. But you also have to be willing to say, well, we tried it. And there have been plenty of coordinators who bump up to the next level and fail, and you move on. And I think the Browns really need to consider moving on after this season. I know they have a reputation for having a quick trigger, and I think sometimes it's caused them to maybe have a slow trigger, like with Hugh Jackson. I think with Freddie Kitchens, they need to make a change. And right now it feels like it's pointing in that direction.
Mike, in Jacksonville, Gardner Minshew is back. Nick Foles is out. The future for Nick Foles remains kind of uncertain in this offseason. Is there any what's the financial commitment if they cut him? What are the ramifications of that? Because obviously here in Chicago, any veteran quarterback that could be available, there's going to be some curiosity surrounding.
They owe him $15.125 million fully guaranteed next year. And the challenge becomes, can you find someone to take that obligation on? Do you have to pay part of the salary like the Texans had to do when they traded Jadeveon Clowney? Do you have to do a Brock Osweiler hot potato deal where you have to send trade value to the team that takes on that salary? I don't think Foles is quite at the point of Osweiler, but it's going to be hard to find a match. And Foles has had the strangest career arc, and it's really an EKG. I mean, he started great with Philadelphia, then he gets traded to the Rams. He was horrible with the Rams. He was with Kansas City and Matt Nagy for a while, for a year, and it felt like there was an opportunity for Foles to do to Alex Smith what Colin Kaepernick once did to Alex Smith, where a concussion put Smith on the sidelines and the backup comes in and plays well, and Foles was playing for the guy who drafted him, Andy Reid, and it just didn't work well enough for Foles to stay there. But then he becomes the Super Bowl MVP somehow. I mean, what kind of Slumdog Millionaire scenario was that for the Eagles in 2017 in hindsight, where everything fell their way, right? And everything fell Foles' way. Every play that could have gone their way went their way. And now he just looks like that guy who bumbled around for the Rams. And so I don't know that you even want him at this point, but he's going to be available. And I think that it would be smart for the Jaguars to find a way to clear him off the roster. I said this earlier today on PFT Live. If you would get rid of Foles, regardless of salary cap or guaranteed salary consequences, then find a way to get rid of him. Just bite the bullet and move on. Let Minshew be the guy. Not have Foles hovering over his shoulder. Not have a backup making $15 million next year when the starter's making $580,000, and just go forward with Minshew. I mean, they may have found a diamond in the rough with Minshew. They need to let that play out. And they're going to do that at least for the rest of the season. What happens next year? Look, a lot of it depends upon who's going to be making the decision. First decision for ownership is who does he entrust the organization to? And then that person or group of persons will be making the decision about Minshew and Foles.
You know, it's interesting because Jason Garrett comes in here with Dallas, and boy, I mean, you want to talk about a guy who's sort of a dead man walking. Doesn't look like he's got any chance of, I think, what was the pronunciation? Super Bowl or bust? He's got to win a Super Bowl to keep his job? It seems pretty far-fetched that something like that could happen at this point, But
I think if
know.
He gets to the NFC Championship, he'll stay. They haven't been to the NFC Championship since 1995. If he gets them there and they have a week where they get to view and consider and relish the possibility of making it to the Super Bowl, I think that's enough for him to get another contract. I think that's hyperbole. But you're right. That's the sense. He's got to win the Super Bowl to stay. But I think it wouldn't come to that if he gets at least to the Final Four.
Mike, the Eagles lose to the Dolphins, so obviously that division is a mess. But what team do you think arrives Thursday night more desperate, the Bears or the Cowboys?
Well, that's a great question. I'd say the Cowboys, just because even though they still have a one-game lead, they need to show that they can win. I think it's all going to come down to Week 16 when they go to Philadelphia. But they just need to get a win. And for the Bears, I mean, they're 6-6. But look at who they've beaten recently. They're not good enough to beat the Cowboys. And maybe that makes them play looser. I don't know. This is the time of year where crazy stuff happens. But I think the Cowboys are more desperate because their expectations in season and preseason are much higher than where they are now. And I know the Bears' expectations coming into the season were a lot higher, but that balloon popped. For the Cowboys, it didn't. And there's still plenty of life left because the Eagles have been so bad. I mean, think about it. If the Eagles had been as good this year as I thought they were going to be, Jason Garrett would already be gone. And but for the fact that the Eagles have been this bad, the Cowboys wouldn't be leading the division. But I think the Cowboys just need to get on the right track as they have that game looming at Philadelphia, because I really do think it comes down to that. And play this forward, because I'm fascinated by the possibility of the Cowboys winning the division at 8-8, clinching it week 16 when they complete the sweep of the Eagles, resting their starters week 17, and essentially getting a de facto bye and welcoming in the loser of that Week 17 49ers Seahawks bloodbath for the number one or number two seed, where the loser's got to go on the road the next week. Wouldn't it be funny if the Cowboys win that game against like a 13-3 or 12-4 team that comes limping into Dallas because they just went through that battle with their division rival? I mean, the Cowboys, they have the talent to win in January. They don't have the coaching to win in January, but they've got the talent to win in January.
We know that, Tom Brady is frustrated with everything that's happened with the offense, and he's struggling, hasn't had a great season. Maybe he needs help, and there's been – the rumors are circulating are pretty interesting. They're going to try to get Gronk to come back, or Antonio Brown, really? Could that happen?
Well, the window slammed shut on Gronkowski playing for anyone in 2019 on Saturday. That was by rule the last day he could have been reinstated to the Patriots roster. Now, for Antonio Brown, look, I think Brady would love to have him back. I think Bill Belichick would probably like to have him, but that bridge got blown up the last time around. And one of the key factors, Tom Curran explained this. He's with NBC Sports Boston. He was on PFT Live a week or so ago. Because Drew Rosenhaus and Antonio Brown did not disclose when Brown was first signed by the Patriots, the fact that that threatened lawsuit was out there, because they apparently asked that broad question, is there anything we need to know about? And they said no. The fact that they didn't disclose that lawsuit is the kiss of death. And then I guess yesterday there was something posted by Brown on Instagram about Robert Kraft again after Brown has apologized. I mean, Brown gets so frustrated about the fact that he's in this limbo under the personal conduct policy. He does stupid things on social media. But there was something else yesterday that if that's something he really posted on his Instagram account. There was never a chance anyway, but there's even less of a chance now.
Mike, with a quarter season left to go, who is your leading candidate for Coach of the Year?
Well, you know, Coach of the Year is a fascinating award because, to me, it typically is based upon the coach that most exceeded the generally accepted preseason expectations for his team. Like Nagy last year. Everybody expected the Bears to be in last place. They win the division. He's Coach of the Year. I think Mike Tomlin deserves a ton of consideration, not because of his performance in relation to how we felt about the Steelers going into the season, but given everything they've been through, and given that they are the inferior team in pretty much every game, and they just keep winning 7-2 since starting 0-3, I think Tomlin is a serious candidate. They're going to have to make it to the playoffs. Now, even without that, you got to look at the teams that finish with the byes. And if John Harbaugh takes the Ravens to the top seed in the AFC, how is he not a candidate? If Sean Payton, five games without Drew Brees, finishes in the number one spot, how is he not a serious candidate? Kyle Shanahan, Pete Carroll. I mean, as the cream continues to rise, those are the coaches that we look at and say, wow, these guys have done a great job in a very competitive year. But I think Tomlin is a guy that we need to be thinking about and talking about, because if they somehow pull that rabbit out of their butts and get to the playoffs after starting 0-3 with no Ben Roethlisberger, no Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell's long gone. They've had injuries all season long. They didn't have Juju Smith-Schuster or James Conner this past weekend against a Browns team that is better on paper than the Steelers, and they still beat them. If they keep this going and they end up in the postseason, Mike Tomlin seriously deserves consideration.
It's great. It's great observation. Mike, thank you so much.
Good stuff, right. Mike.
See you guys. Thanks.
That is Mike Florio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.